Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Hyper Chat for the 1st of December, Tuesday, 2020. It's Nog season. Eggnog season. My wife Jackie makes a delectable eggnog. Staunch. So be prepared for some nogged up episodes coming your way here at steelwars.com, whatever. You might be watching on YouTube, Facebook Live, Twitter Periscope, or on podcast delay. This is a all access episode, so it will be on the iTunes feed as well. We'll tell the iTunes people how to get this every day on their feed in a little bit, but we have got so much to talk about. Hey, everyone in the chat, what is with Sam Carey getting? He's negging me. He's read the game. He's come here to the feed to say I'm not going to make it again today. Have a good day, everyone. Bloody hell. Although his avatar of Luke on Crait does get him some points. Let's go. Oh, okay. We should just do this one first. With apologies to my friends at the Scavengers Horde podcast who are not feeling this, but Ryan Smallman. I'm not sure. Yeah, Ryan Smallman, who is an artist and a listener of the show. So, hey, Ryan, he did up this Photoshop of those Mandalorian character posters. Dare to dream. Check it out. Oof. Woof. If you were just listening, it is a mocked up image of Sebastian Stan, Luke Skywalker up in the Return of the Jedi suit in front of the graffiti wall. Green saber ignited. Looking good. Looking slim. God, Hamill was a slim 30-year-old or however old he was at that time. But a narrow man. That is amazing. And listen, here's the thing with Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian. When people say they shouldn't bring him in and it's all too connected and, hey, I hear you. I get where you're coming from. But, like, you know, like, when you eat your most sickly favorite junk food, you know you shouldn't, but you do. And so I'm putting things aside. And Jim Grote says, get the Ignite the Green shirts printing again. Not a bad idea. Exotic Red Tadpole says, looks like Sebastian Stan with a wig. Dude, sometimes Ewan McGregor look like Ewan McGregor with a wig on in Star Wars as well. But it's meant to be Sebastian Stan. I'm not sure if it's the wig or the Sebastian Stan part of it that you're querying. And in, where did that go? Here we go. In the audience ranking, we got just under 15,000 votes for what was your ranking or rating of the Jedi chapter of The Mandalorian. And let's get rid of the little sidebar here. Hate it how Twitter shows that to everyone. Anyway, thumbs down, 2.5%. Thumbs in the middle, 10%. So that's under 13% of people with a meh or negative. Then you got around 30% with a thumbs up and 58% with a massive thumbs up. So that's almost, what is that, an 88% thumbs up or thumbs massively up. And it was, you know, I hear people's criticisms and, you know, and this is away from the allegations to Rosario Dawson, which we covered on yesterday's show. So Vanity Fair, Anthony Breznican did a really, really good interview with her and Dave Filoni that touched on her becoming Ahsoka and also the concern that Star Wars fans have about the legal allegations against her and her family, which she addressed. And so, you know, if you want to find out all about that, yesterday's show, Mondays, you guys. That's up on the YouTube. Oh, also, I should say, thanks to this 24 hours of since a hyper chat. This is the first time we've hit like 1,000, you know, we're just a humble, you know, we've been doing podcasting for a long time. Got a good base there, but we're sort of just getting into the YouTube thing in the last couple of months. COVID delirium inspired just to do something interactive each day with people out there. So thank you for being my company. But first time we've hit 1,000 before we've done the next episode for the daily hyper chats. The roundtables have been getting about 2,500 after the first weekend, which is great. Celebrating the humble little wins. You know, Alex Damon and Molly Damon. They get that when they sneeze in the morning. And well deserved. Well deserved. But enjoying the humble little victories. Now, let's talk RIP David Prowse, Darth Vader. Let's get up a sweet pic of, oh, we've got one actually here in the little thumbnail. So there's the kind of very famous photo of David Prowse as Darth Vader, which I believe was taken. It's for those on the, you can look at the cover art and you'll see it, but it's an older Dave Prowse holding the Darth Vader helmet with his suit on with like a Death Star drop off. Now, from what I know, that photo was taken when they were filming some VHS interactive board game featuring Darth Vader. So that's why he looks more, you know, the hair and that sort of like age that if you're, you know, used to see him on conventions and all that, he was at. Now, George Lucas paid tribute, and George Lucas, one of the saddest things is it was COVID related that took him. So, wear masks, people, please. Yeah, it's super sad. But let's talk about George Lucas's tribute. Now, George Lucas and David Prowse, they have a complicated, fractured relationship, which, you know, once one of them's gone, is, you know, it's tragic that that's how they left it. Maybe they're happy with how they left it, but, you know, for us being fans of both of them, it you know, you want to see people sort of mend before it gets too late. But the issue with David Prowse and George Lucas, and I've seen, like, I got posted an image up of George with his quote on Instagram, and there's a few people going, oh, you know, like, F George, like, literally F George Lucas for how he treated Prowse. But it was a multifaceted series of events. And, like, David Prowse was a unique guy. I'm trying to find out more about this, but I listened to the Wrestling Observer podcast. They have a like a VIP, like a Patreon sort of thing, to listen to their, like, very high quality gamut of shows. Anyway, so Brian Alvarez on there was saying that David Prowse, in numerous interviews, people would say, oh, did you ever think about getting into pro wrestling? And he'd say, no, never thought about that. But as it turns out, he did do pro wrestling in the 60s, but just, like, in interviews would sort of make no, like, would, you know, he's never thought about getting into pro wrestling, but he was a pro wrestler. So I am a unique guy, obviously. And George Lucas, not a people person or an actor person. So at the best of times. And I feel like with Dave being who he was, and then, you know, things probably went awry when maybe George wasn't as, hadn't really made clear that his voice, David Prowse's voice, would be replaced by someone else. And I feel like that was the first sort of slight that David Prowse saw of George Lucas. And then David Prowse, leading up to Return of the Jedi, was seen to be a leak to the media for things happening in that film. And, you know, he's denied that, but it, like, looking into it, and it kind of does seem like, and as I think there's actually, yeah, there is, there's public, he did some public appearance and gave away a spoiler for Return of the Jedi. I can't recall what it was, but, you know, so, you know, that's then again nagging against George Lucas. And, you know, the story goes that sort of George would use the stuntmen more and more as Return of the Jedi went on. So there's that. And then David Prowse appeared on, I think it was called the People Against George Lucas documentary. That's definitely the name of a documentary, and I think that's the one he went on, which was a real, like, blah, 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 George Lucas ruined my childhood doc. Interesting to watch, and a sort of precursor for some sides of fandom right now. And David Prowse appeared on that, which, from George Lucas and Lucasfilm's point of view, was a big no-no. And then David Prowse has also then said that he didn't know that that's what it was for. You know, once you're recorded, you're recorded. But yeah, as you can see, like any good story, you can see why, and I mean, like a fictional story, you can see why the two, what happened and why this person reacted this way, this person reacted that way. So, I would offer fans that F George Lucas, let bygones be bygones, as George has done here. And he has said, I'll pop that a bit bigger for you guys. He made Vader leap off the page and onto the big screen with an imposing stature. to the success of what would become a memorable, tragic figure. May he rest in peace. I feel like I may have just dropped out there, but then my screen went back. So I'll check the chat. People against George Lucas. I don't know if I cut out there or not, but I'll read again. He made Vader leap off the page and onto the big screen with an imposing stature and movement performance to match the intensity and undercurrent of Vader's presence. David was up for anything and contributed to the success of what would become a memorable, tragic figure. May he rest in peace. So a classy move. And, you know, like it's to be expected. People get so worked up in on behalf of other people. Like someone on my Instagram was complaining that it took him long enough. And I was like, dude, you made that comment within 24 hours of the public finding out he died. Like, how quick do you want him to get it out on a Thanksgiving Sunday? You know, same with StarWars.com. Like people, they haven't updated it yet. It did get updated on Sunday, but it's like it's Thanksgiving weekend. So someone has to excuse themselves from their family, set up the laptop, write the article, post it. Chill out. Yes, okay, there was a little pause. So don't worry, you guys, about the pause, because I read it a second time as poorly, you know, such as poor cadence as I did the first time, because the way it's down the Instagram screen like that, it was sort of hard to get the flow of the sentence that George was getting to. Johnny Grasso says George Lucas took the high ground. And you know what? I bet you if it was reversed, heaven forfend, but I bet you Dave Prowse would do the same. And someone in the chat said, then he complained he was shut out of Lucasfilm events. Yeah, he was shut out. Because of that documentary. Again, someone in the chat is complaining about that he could have done it beforehand while he was alive. Come on, let it go. Be an adult. This is what happens. People get fractured, and then when they pass, sadly, they go, hey, let's put that stuff to the side that is unimportant in comparison to the loss that the world is feeling. So just, it doesn't all have to be pro wrestling drama, you guys. What else do, this is a cool little fun David Prowse. I never actually got to see David Prowse in person, unfortunately. I did used to like, I don't think I've still got that picture at home back in Australia autographed, but I used to love how he write David Prowse is Darth Vader to sort of really lay in the point there. Lay in the point. Now, Stephen Merchant of Stephen Merchant fame, you know, a creative partner with Ricky Gervais, and I was talking with Charlie Ashby from the Imperial Senate before about how Stephen Merchant and Gervais and Carl Pilkington did that XM radio show, which was sort of very podcasty. And he said he listens to an RSS, you know, repeat of it. And I was saying, oh, when I pre-podcast, I bought bootleg CDs of the two seasons on eBay. And I was like, oh, kind of over Ricky Gervais, right? You know, I've had my fill. He's entertained me enough. That's a kind way of saying it. But anyway, Stephen Merchant. Matthew Mole says, let Qui-Gons be Qui-Gons. Excellent. Excellent. What? Ian Hart met him in Starbucks in Japan. And Kermit the Pog says, yeah, what you said earlier is true. Neither of them wanted to extend the olive branch. They don't owe us to make up and be friends if they didn't want to. And they're both in the same boat. So that's where it is. But anyway, Stephen Merchant, let me get to the point. This is, if you want tangents, we're on a tear today. He put out this sweet little Instagram email from my dad about David Prowse, RIP, who was from my hometown of Bristol. And this is a screen grab of an email from Ron Merchant, Stephen Merchant's dad, who says, just thought you would like to know I had the honour of being thrown out of the Glen in Clifton for smoking on the dance floor by David Prowse. He was very gentle and carried me out. Dad XX. That's cool. I like it. I like it. I like to hear he was a gentle security guard, and because the security guards that take liberties, what cowards, really. And all right, good. We've had some agreement in the chat. Very, very good. And I have to say, the chat is normally a pretty safe place. Unfortunately, with these bigger live stream ones, you get not this one, but I mean on the roundtables, I think there was maybe people got a bit aggressive on Saturday with their disagreeing with people, and it made them feel uncomfortable. So we're going to keep an eye on that with have some moderators during those Saturday night roundtables, but let's just talk to people on the internet the way we talk to them in person. And if you disagree on a Star Wars thing, it's fine. Let's just chill out. And, you know, a few people said, oh, it was pretty downbeat, the reaction compared to, you know, how I thought about it. And to me, that's fascinating, because how many, like, it was the best thing ever podcasts can you listen to? I like the fascinating thing about Star Wars fandom for me is how we all watch this same media, and with our life experience and our favorite characters, how we then all relate to it. So I found it fascinating when, you know, I was just a giggling idiot going, woohoo, that was the best. So let's, you guys keep an eye on it for me as well. You guys are a good peeps, but there's bigger fish to fry out there. Trust me. And Elijah Neal, backing me up when it comes to Star Wars chats, this one's great. Or Star Wars chats. All right, guys, this is just in to hand. We have got tonight's shopping list. This is breaking news. I will put up the scoop banner. Here we go. Here's a scoop. We need eggs, which in this household we refer to as eggies. Oh, don't get me started about eggies, actually. Are you enjoying the show? Okay, Jackie's enjoying the show. So Harry is obsessed with eggs now, not to eat, to befriend, right? He just wants to hug it. He wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, eggy, eggy. And so I hard-boiled one so it wouldn't break, so he could, you know, play with his eggy wherever he pleased. Worked a treat. So I thought, hey, I'm a good dad. I like having fun. Let's like lift the experience. So I drew a little smiley face on the egg to show Harry that the egg appreciated his friendship. Zero buys. No, no, off, off, off. Brutal, brutal. So no more drawing smiley faces on eggs, let me tell you. Let me tell you, there's a charger. Another scoop. Jackie's phone is on low battery. What percentage you got over there? 18%. It's low. She's about to go for a run. It's not good at all. It's not good at all. That Nike app takes up a lot of battery. I am vamping because I cannot talk about Star Wars in front of my wife, who's over there, because because she's very supportive.
I hear you every night and have to come and tell you to be quiet because you're too loud.
Now who's being too loud? You know what I'm saying? There is no way I'm not going to get like a replay of this show. Because like, how do I talk on the podcast, Jackie? Okay, see? She has a horrible impression of me. Oh, you! Hey, you guys, ignite the green. Ignite the green. All right, she says she does a good hey, you guys. Oh.
I'm leaving. I'm just putting on my shoes.
I'm melting.
Well, I won't make
nog
tonight.
Oh, okay. She's just threatened eggnog tonight, that we won't have eggnog tonight if I keep up this behavior. God, I want the eggnog, man. It's so good. It's so good. Love you, Jocelyn.
Love you.
Hey, I'll get the eggies.
Well, you'll have to get a designated carton for nog and a designated carton just for general living.
Okay, nice.
Well,
because
it takes 6 eggs per jug, so.
I'll get a lot of eggs, don't worry. All right, wow. Is this content going on here? How? Okay. Is this a bit that you're going to keep going back?
No help for you.
Hey, Jackie. John Bishop in the chat has said, you married up Steele.
Can they see me?
No, they can hear.
Oh, good.
All right. Yes, that is a real slice of life. Good stuff. Thank you, Critical Reviews. Oh, God. How do I get rid of the scoops? We've had too many scoops about my life. Let's get rid of the scoops. Oh.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What do you think about all this, Noah?
What did they do to us?
Exactly. Anyway, what else can we get? So, yeah, R.O.P. Dave Prowse. Quite a character. I always see these original trilogy actors like... They're my famous space auntie and uncles. And, you know, a few of them are pretty eccentric, you know? And it's sad to see them go. It's sad to see them go. Whew. Man. I think we've had...
Okay.
What's the vibe check?
That is a major vibe check.
I'm majorly checked right now.
Okay. Now, let's get to Ashley Eckstein's reaction to Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian. And this comes via JediNews.com in the UK. Ashley Eckstein welcomes Rosario Dawson to hashtag Team Tano. Now, Ashley put up a really fun photo of herself in a Ahsoka Tano-inspired sweater, cargo pants, and wrote this really nice message on Instagram. To understand Ahsoka Tano is to understand what she means to people. Millions of people are meeting Ahsoka for the first time after watching her in The Mandalorian, and I'm excited for them to hopefully go back and watch her journey in The Clone Wars and Rebels. Millions of fans already know Ahsoka and her presence has come to mean more to them than words in a script. In Star Wars The Clone Wars, Ahsoka became the eyes of the audience. Viewers experienced the show through Ahsoka, and even though these stories happened in a galaxy far, far away, her feelings and emotions are very relatable to our everyday lives. Ahsoka's strength has inspired, changed, and literally saved millions of lives all over the world. In turn, Ahsoka has become a beacon of hope, light, and genuine goodness. Everyone's relationship with Ahsoka is very different because she triggers the memory of a certain point in a person's life where she's inspired them. Very astute. Even in the darkest of times, Ahsoka brings people joy, and that's what truly matters. Ahsoka taught us that you don't need to carry a sword to be powerful. And Dave Filoni reminded me of that kindness is powerful. After 12 years, and hopefully many more to come, of having Ahsoka in our lives, hashtag Ahsoka lives in all of us now. I am blown away by everyone's kindness. I've read all the messages, DMs, comments, text messages, and emails. And to say thank you doesn't even feel adequate enough to express what your kind words mean to me. It's my wish that Ahsoka continues to bring joy, light, and most importantly, hope. This is the way of Ahsoka Tano. Over 2,000 comments, almost 60,000 likes. That's some traction and lovely, lovely words. Rosario Dawson then commented on this, saying, thank you forever for your brilliance, Ashley. I'm so honored to be part of Ahsoka's legacy alongside you. Ahsoka lives in all of us, indeed. This is the way of Ahsoka Tano. Hashtag Ahsoka lives. And then Ashley Eckstein replies, congratulations, Rosario. Welcome to Team Tano. Hey, class acts all around. You know what I'm saying? So good to see. Just catching up with the chat. Drew H says, this is my first time here and I thought this was a Star Wars channel, but that was good content. Drew, you found your place, buddy. Welcome. Matthew Mull says, Jackie is Steel's kryptonite. Matthew Mull also says, Ahsoka is the Luke Skywalker for the younger generations. Which, listen, that's the thing about, some people that are really invested with Ahsoka are having an issue with that she wasn't really explained, everything about her amazing history wasn't sort of touched upon in that episode. But if you're just watching it for the first time, and like I'm a Jedi fan, not so much. I should bring up this with Courtney, because she doesn't like the Jedi. And I was going on the other night about how Jedi is the best word ever made up. I'm not such a prequel Jedi fan. I'm like Skywalker, Rey. Oh, they're my Jedi. And Rosario really harkened back to that as in those scenes in The Mandalorian. So I didn't even pick up on that. Braxton says, Team Tano, always a few letters off. Should have been Team Toro. Don't worry. Imagine Jake Carnevale writing a lovely Instagram address to the new whoever's playing the young Toro Calican. What a world that would be. What a world that would be. I just thought that people would see her as that weren't sort of around the backstory. Oh, this is a kick-ass mysterious Jedi. The introduction of Obi-Wan Kenobi in A New Hope. He had all this backstory. We didn't need it right then. If Ahsoka gets her own series, we will need that backstory to flesh out. But for a role in this, she got new fans. She got new fans. You got a feel for Ashley. I feel like they made, I agree with the decision to cast someone else other than Ashley. I think her performance and her voice acting and her support of fandom is second to none. But I just, it just seems like it would just be a bit odd to have her there. You know, then you look at the person of color issues. You know, she's doing the voice, probably a good lesson to not do that in the future, and it probably won't. But it must be hard for her. Do you know what I mean? She's like, no one has invested themselves more into the character and the fandom of that character in Star Wars than Ashley Eckstein. And so, you know, she does have a special place in Ahsoka fans' hearts. Now, I've seen people say, like, oh, they didn't get her into audition. Now, you could go the other way. They knew, like, you could, in another circumstance, you know, for whatever reasons, they're producing television, they've come to this conclusion, Ashley Eckstein's not going to work as Ahsoka for various reasons. And then they give her an audition to then not get it. Like, and then you found out about it. Like, they were never going to give it to her, but they gave her an audition. That's cruel. So it could go either way. So I feel like not getting her to audition when you're not going to use her is the best bet. You know, there's a little bit of ambiguity about when she found out about it and stuff like that. And, you know, I hope that Dave Filoni, the hat, has – I need a hat. I need to get a hat. That's coming. I've got to get that up there. Has learned not only filmmaking lessons from George Lucas, but maybe learned how to deal with friends and talent and stuff like that, a bit more open. And, you know, she was privy to the episode and the casting before the public was. It seemed like in her Instagram that she posted up when the rumors started that she didn't know, but who knows? Who knows? And, you know, like someone saying that Ashley's so emotional, it's like she's put so much into this character. So if anyone's, like I'm not here to judge anyone's emotions. I almost cried because Grogu and Din were doing a faux goodbye last week. Listen, man, I bawled my eyes out when X-Wings came out of a TV in a Star Wars special edition trailer. So these things, she's put in more than anyone into her character. Let's go to Entertainment Weekly. Pedro Pascal is flying high on The Mandalorian, but defining success by his earthly bounds. The Wonder Woman 1984 and Mandalorian star is one of EW's, or as they call it, one of EW's entertainers of the year. So he's a cover boy. I'm actually thrilled that Wonder Woman is coming out on HBO Max on Christmas Day as well as cinema, because if a Star Wars film was coming out, I'd have to make, if a Star Wars film was coming out and it was on Disney Plus as well as the cinema, I'd watch it at home, to be honest. But yeah, so I wouldn't be going to see Wonder Woman, but I have a HBO Max subscription, so I am thrilled about that. Let's go. Playing the Mandalorian has been one of the hardest and most unique experiences of Pascal's career to date. At this point, it's no secret that he wasn't physically under the helmet as much as he would have liked in season one, and recorded his dialogue in post-production to match. What his doubles, stunt actors Brendan Wayne and Latif Crowder did on set in the armor. Giving a largely vocal performance was challenging for a physical actor like Pascal, who is almost unrecognizable when you compare his turns on The Good Wife and Game of Thrones, for example, because of how he carries himself. Yet being on set way more in The Mandalorian Season 2 didn't make his job any easier because he still had to figure how to make Mando compelling while also being as economical as possible in his physical movements and vocal performance. I'm not sure if I would be able to do it if it weren't for the amount of direct experience that I've had with being on stage to understand how to posture yourself, how to physically frame yourself into something and tell a story with a gesture, with a stance, or with very, very specific vocal intonation, says Pascal, who believes his collaborative relationship with creator Jon Favreau and executive producer Dave Filoni, aka his Mandalorian puppers, also helped him inhabit the role of Season 2. Now, there were these rumors that Pascal was having a brutal time in the suit and the mask and wanted more scenes with his helmet off. Now, this does not compute. At best, I feel like the suit was hard for him to wear or whatever, and he struggled with it one day on set, and then someone's taken that, given it to someone who wants to make the world into professional wrestling for their clicks or whatever. And he went off set and all that. Because, listen, when your face has only been seen as a character for like 20 seconds of an entire series, it's probably not the best time to be making demands. You know what I'm saying? But everything about this guy and what he says is it just does not click with that. And he seems to be enjoying the challenge. Now, speaking of collaboration, love this. Working with comedian Amy Sedaris, who plays gruff Tatooine mechanic Pally Motto, got to remember that name, Pally Motto, she's so good, was one of the highlights of The Mandalorian sophomore season. I followed Amy Sedaris around like a puppy. Should have said like a loth cat. Come on, where are your Star Wars references, Pedro? I don't know what came over me. I was like, hey again, I'm not leaving your side until you rap. And she's like, cool, Pascal says. I love the child. It really is adorable. And it is so fascinating to see it work. But somebody who makes you spit laugh right into your helmet will always be my favorite thing. He said something about working with Baby Yoda down here. It is interesting. You can read all this at EW.com. Maybe I missed it. Dun, 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 dun. Do you want my hold music? Where was it? It was about... There was an interesting little thing about him taking the role. No, I cannot find it. This is good content. We're going to lose our new viewer. Did I read this on another site? Maybe I did. He talked about how when he was deciding to take the role, how the idea that Baby Yoda was, he knew it was going to be a huge hit, and the challenge of him being under the helmet and stuff, he saw that as like a big part of taking the role was these new challenges, which, you know, again, Star Wars fans are so reactive for other people. I saw someone comment to him once on Twitter, like, oh, does it bother you? Everyone goes on about Baby Yoda, but you're the star. Like, and he's like, no, Baby Yoda's sick. I love him. It's like, doesn't all have to be this bizarre drama? Why is Leidra saying control F? What does that mean? What does that do? I'm too scared to push those buttons. John Bishop says, agreed, Steel Wars. His social seems to really celebrate his love of Star Wars. Sean Hoffman says, Pedro should keep the helmet on to keep Sorry. Pedro should keep the helmet on to keep the sex appeal under control. Might have to bump it too late night otherwise. Sorry, I was found that so funny. I read it so bad. Matthew Mole says, get Jackie and the eggs back. Anyway, so good to hear from Pedro. Then to wrap it up, well, before we go to the wrap, I'll do some sweet sizzle. If you're enjoying all the stuff that we're doing, please consider checking out the Steel Wars Patreon, patreon.com/Steel Wars. For $3 a month on your podcast app of choice, you will get our entire back catalog. I think it's about 700 episodes. Interviews with people like Ben Mendelsohn, chats with J.J. Abrams, Daisy Ridley, Ryan Johnson, little ones, but a full-length interview with Ben Mendelsohn, Sam Witwer, Steve Stanton, hundreds of great fans. A lot of these interviews are quite timeless. As well, you get all the current stuff downloading. So if you are driving, you don't have to watch it on YouTube. And bonus shows like Star Wars You Buy Podcast, new episode coming out today. I'm going to put it up directly after this, where we go through Star Wars history with Horst Burkhardt, and Page Wars, where we spoil all the latest books and comics. King Tom tells me what happens because I don't have time to read it. And the Robbo Report, where my very opinionated Star Wars friend Robbo tells me what. $3 gets you all that for the month. $5 gets you all that, as well as a sticker pack sent out to you. $10 gets you all that sticker pack content for the month and a t-shirt of your choice from Mercho Store. So appreciate your support on that. Braxton says, rewatched a few of those interviews today. Good stuff. Our final little article, Variety.com. The Mandalorian becomes the first Disney Plus show to make Nielsen's streaming top 10 list. Now, I had heard that The Mandalorian was number one. On another worldwide streaming thing, but I don't know how they measure this stuff. Nielsen, they do a survey, which is how all the TV ratings in America are calculated. So they've obviously got a similar, bafflingly somehow accurate way to determine this through their sample size. And The Mandalorian becomes the first Disney show to hit that in the top 10. And it comes in at number three. Queen's Gambit, which I'm hearing a lot about on Netflix, 7 episodes. That is number one. That has been watched, 18,000 million minutes of that has been watched. The Office, which is very interesting. It's legacy content, 192 episodes. So that helps that there is such a gamut of episodes because you can really churn, there's a lot more to watch so you can consume it more. Because, when you're on a run of a show, it's like, if you're like me, it's just like, I'm just on this show. 192 episodes and about about 1,000 million minutes. Is that a billion? Yeah, that is a billion. And then The Mandalorian is just behind it, also on a billion minutes, give or take, with 9 episodes. Then under the bill, you've got Schitt's Creek, Holiday, Grey's Anatomy, Criminal Minds, NCIS, The Haunting by Bly Manor, and The Great British Baking Show. So obviously they're impressive that, shows like Queen's Gambit and The Mandalorian, which are fresh run shows with, under 10 episodes, are up there with that. It's interesting that that's why these they're getting such big, contracts. Like I think Seinfeld, signed some $5 billion contract to have that on Netflix. But That's not in the top 10. Is it on Netflix yet? I don't know. And The Queen's Gambit, you can binge it. It's hard to compare. I guess to compare The Queen's Gambit to The Mandalorian, you would have to wait for, because Netflix, you know, they put it all up at once. You'd have to wait for the end of The Mandalorian season and measure that in similar times. And I think by that measure, The Mandalorian would win. I would think they would come out on top there. You could hear my phone ringing on that. I couldn't even hear it. Was it vibrating? Anyway, this has been a wild ride. 50 minutes. So clearly, this episode's gone on
long enough.
Thank you, Toro. Thanks for everyone watching. Again, if you are getting this podcast on the normal iTunes feed or on Dioncast, whatever, and you would like to get shows like this every day, we do them Monday through Thursday. Then over the weekend, we have all our Mandalorian coverage. We do an exclusive audio show, me and Horst Burkhart on the phone, just riffing about it off the top of our heads on Fridays. We do the Roundtable, which is also on YouTube Live, Saturday nights. And I've also got my Rapid Fire Reaction and just started doing the one in the morning live stream reaction because I can't go to sleep after The Mandalorian. So I figured I may as well make a show. So give us some thumbs up if that's your thing, and I hope it is. If you're watching on delay, leave a comment below. I always read them and reply back. Help out that algorithm, you guys. I can't emphasize enough that we respect the algorithm. Respect the algorithm. I'm off to purchase some eggies. So may that force be with you. See you tomorrow. And Star Wars U by Podcast, hitting Patreon exclusive YouTube and RSS feed tonight. It's a good one. See you tomorrow.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.